We'll take our reading from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. Head and says, Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
And continuing in this chapter, before Paul preaches to us. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. So I'm inviting Paul to come up and share, and I'll pray for you, brother. These are exciting words, aren't they? They're amazing words, so familiar to many of us. But we need that that help, don't we, to understand more. And we're so thankful for Paul and all our preachers. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Paul, for his heart for you. Thank you for his years of study and understanding. Thank you most of all, Lord, for your Spirit living within him. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, once again, help us all as we listen, as we try to understand, as we are changed and transformed for your glory. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Okay, so we're beginning a series today, Pentecost Sunday, on the Holy Spirit, obviously. I was in India once, and I was with a group of nine other people, and we went on this train into the countryside, got off the train, beautiful sunny day. We have to walk to this church in the middle of this village, which is about a mile away. We start walking, and we're like wearing stuff like this. The heavens opened, and the monsoon rains came down. And by the time we got to the church, we were literally soaked to the skin. We were bringing rain into the church. We were so wet. We were so wet. Pentecost Sunday, something ought to happen. If we're praying, come Holy Spirit, which is of course the Pentecost prayer, which actually we should be praying all the time, not just Pentecost Sunday, something should happen to us. Dare I say, we might get drenched by the Holy Spirit, but something should happen, because Pentecost Sunday is about praying, come Holy Spirit, come fill me, fill us, come send us into a world in need of such good news. So the next few Sundays is all about the Holy Spirit. But this Sunday, on this Pentecost Sunday, is who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? And does it matter? I mean, I'm guessing we get God the Father. Yeah? We kind of get God the Father. We get God the Son. Yeah? Do we get the Spirit, though? Do we get God the Spirit? And are we happy with God the Spirit? We're happy with God the Father. We're happy with God the Son. But are we happy with God the Spirit? So it's a good question to ask. Who is the Holy Spirit? Right, number one. First things first, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's as much God as the Father is God, and Jesus is God. So let's go in our imagination to a social gathering. It can be any social gathering you like. Doesn't matter what kind, but you're there. You're mingling. You're looking to see who's there. Maybe you've got a glass of wine or a glass of Coke in your hand, and you're just milling and you're looking around. Oh, and then you spot three people. And they pique your curiosity. They're really interesting. They're fascinating. Really, really interesting. Because they appear to be the same person, but different at the same time. Like, they're using different words, but they seem to be agreeing. They're moving, but they're moving the same direction. It's really weird. They're three different people, but they're like the same. They're really together in a way you've never experienced before. Thinking, what? This is really weird. That's the Father. That's the Father. He's like very strong and masterful, but kind and good. Yeah, that's the Father. And then, look. There's a mark on the other person's hands. Oh, that must be Jesus. Oh, that's God the Father. That's Jesus. But who's that one? Who's he? That's God the Father. That's okay. Oh, he must be God the Spirit then. You see, unlike Christadelphians, who say the Spirit is merely power coming from God, and Islam, that teaches he is most likely, in their theology, the angel Gabriel, the Holy Scriptures challenge both those options and many more. You see, just a few Bible verses. Matthew 3:16, at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit is called the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, he's called the Spirit of the Lord who brings freedom. In 1 Peter 1:11, he's called the Spirit of Christ. And that's a really interesting reference because it's saying it's the Spirit of Christ who'd been revealing to Old Testament prophets Jesus' future coming and sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was the Spirit of Christ revealing Christ to the prophets. So those names, God, Spirit, Lord, all of which is the Spirit, that says, the Spirit of God is indeed one part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and you say it with me, Holy Spirit. He is one separate part, and this is a mystery, and we're not going to go into it today. He is one separate part of the inseparable Trinity. But he is God. You see, we first meet the Spirit, the very beginning in Genesis 1, where it's the Spirit of God that is hovering over the chaos. And it's with the Son and with the Father, with the Spirit, who then creates out of the chaos, bringing order out of disorder, creation out of that chaos. Now, we see him at other times in the Old Testament, but generally speaking, he's a bit of a background figure. He doesn't blow his own trumpet, but he's there. Because he doesn't want to be noticed, which is a significant thing about the Spirit of God. But we see him again at Jesus' baptism, when the Spirit descends on Jesus and the voice of the Father is heard. When someone becomes a follower of Jesus in the Scriptures, when we become followers or we became a follower, who was there? Why did we become a Christian? Is it because somebody shared the good news with us? Well, partly. The main reason we become Christians is because the Spirit of God comes within us. that fills us, that over time changes us to be more like Jesus ourselves. You see, Pentecost Sunday is about God coming down as the Spirit of God, sent by the Son of God and God the Father. But he is just as fully God as God the Son is and as God the Father is. He is not just a force. Which leads me to the next point. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And I believe that right now, the Holy Spirit is wandering around this building, very close to us, whispering to us, wanting our attention, wanting to move in our lives, wanting to touch our hearts, wanting to bring healing. Thank you, Stephen, for the prayers you led just a moment. Yes. The Holy Spirit, he wants us to be open to him so that we can be changed, we can be healed, we can be forgiven, we can be new, we can be set free from depression. The Holy Spirit is moving as a person. Yeah, we can't see him, but he's moving amongst us. Hasn't the weather been a bit bad of late? That wind! Whoa, were you in that wind? Were you driving in that wind? I was driving in that wind, going over to Hailing Island, and I was worried. I was really worried. I know it was only about 40 kilometres an hour, but I was worried. I was going down this lane on Hailing Island to visit somebody, and there are trees on both sides of the road. And they're blowing like this, and I'm thinking, oh my word, am I going to get crushed by one of these trees? Yes, the Holy Spirit has force. Yes, the Holy Spirit has power, but he is not just force, and he is not just power. He is a person. Let's get that straight. He's God. And he's person. He's not the force be with you. And he's not, Harry Potter magic. Pew! He's not just magic, because he's not magic. He is a person. Three things about his person. Number one, he's a person in family with other persons. I've already mentioned that, really. He's in a family of other persons, with other persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in my A-level years at school, I was a bit of a loner. Not so much in the lessons, but in the common room between lessons, I always remember just sitting on my own. I was a bit shy. Can you imagine me being shy? Yeah, I was. I was a bit of a loner. And I remember sitting there just, you know, doing my studies, longing for some kind of connection with other students. Longing to chat with somebody, to have a relationship with somebody. And you see, that craving is in all of us. We all want connection. We all want community. We all want to be in relationship. Where does that come from? Why do we have that yearning? Can anybody tell me? It was born in us. It's part of our DNA that God, who is community, has given to us as his gift. The Holy Spirit is part of the family of the Godhead. So when we ask ourselves, why do I want to be with other people? It actually comes from the Lord himself. It's okay to want to be with other people. It's very normal. The writer, go back to right at the beginning of time, right at the beginning of creation anyway. What does it say in Genesis 1? It says, this is God speaking, okay? Let us make man in our own image. Let us make man in our own image. It doesn't say, let me make man in my image. That's probably the first time the hint of the Trinity is mentioned in Scripture. Because God is plural. And most commentators say that this hints at the community of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is person and he's got feelings. The Holy Spirit is person and he's got feelings. He's got feelings. He's not AI. He's not AI. You know AI, don't you? Yeah? I kind of know AI, but I mean, do you think you really know AI? But anyway, it doesn't matter. But he's not AI, because, you know, robots don't have feelings. He's not force or power, although he does have power, because force doesn't have feelings, does it? Don't think he does. But because Holy Spirit is person, he has feelings. He has emotion. How are you feeling about Gaza and Ukraine? You feeling sad? You feeling angry? You feeling compassionate? The Spirit grieves over Gaza. He grieves over Ukraine. He weeps over such things. And he rejoices over good things too. He rejoices when the church is going forward together. He rejoices when the church is singing praise to the Trinity. He rejoices when there is reconciliation and healing. Because he has feelings. Paul teaches the church in Ephesus, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Because disunity grieves him. Wrong teaching grieves him. A disregard for others grieves him. Ignoring the poor, the abused, the neglected. Lying hurts him. Because he is person. He has feelings. He feels for you. If you're going through a tough time, he feels for you. He's sharing in your grief. He's sharing in your sadness. You're not alone because he is person. And if you're having a great time right now and life is really great, he's rejoicing with you. But because he also has feelings, when we refuse to hear him or to acknowledge him, that hurts him. Because when he's speaking to us and we ignore him, he hurts because we're ignoring blessing, we're ignoring healing. We're ignoring the best that he wants to give us. And then finally, as a person, he has focus. He has focus. And who is his focus? Who is the Spirit's focus? Is he the Spirit who goes, look at me, listen to me, look what I'm doing? Is it like some of these great speakers around the world who've got a name for themselves? Their name is splashed all over the newspapers. They're on social media. They've got their own TV show. They've got their own radio show. And people are plugging into it because they're famous. No. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit is not at all self-obsessed, self-absorbed. No. The Holy Spirit always, always wants to point to Jesus. Always. Always Jesus. He wants Jesus to be seen. He wants Jesus to be noted. He wants Jesus to be honored. And he wants Jesus to be followed. He gives gifts to the church so that Jesus can be glorified. He inspires worship so that the Father and the Son can be worshipped. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus the first time, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, look, there is Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Spirit does the same. He points to Jesus. Because Jesus is his focus. The Spirit is the accompanying music, and Jesus is the soloist, if you like. So who is the Spirit? He is God, he is person, and finally, he is another counselor, or another advocate, or if you like, don't misunderstand me because this could sound heretical, he is another Jesus, in the sense that the Holy Spirit does exactly what Jesus did, exactly what Jesus did. The word another in the scriptures there is another, but of the same kind. Yeah. Doing the same thing, teaching the same truth, leading the same way, guiding in the same direction, rejoicing over the same things and grieving over the same tragedies as Jesus. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? I know what Mo's afraid of. I won't tell you. You can ask her later. Yeah. Charisphobia. A fear of the Spirit of God. We're very happy with the God the Father. We're very happy with God the Son. But we're a bit apprehensive about the Spirit of God. But we don't need to be. We really don't. I mean, Jesus is called, what is he called? He's called the Comforter. The Spirit is the Comforter. Jesus is called the Truth. The Spirit leads us into truth. Jesus walked with his friends. The Spirit walks alongside us. Jesus counseled. The Spirit counsels us. Jesus witnessed to the truth about God. The Spirit does the same. Jesus exposed sin. The Spirit convicts us of the same. Jesus prayed for his friends. The Spirit intercedes for us. Wherever Jesus went, he brought life. Wherever the Spirit goes, he brings life. Jesus touched people in power. Wherever the Spirit touches anybody, his power falls and change takes place. Good things happen. Jesus exposed sin. The Spirit convicts us of the same thing. But not to make us feel guilty, but to help us to walk the path towards transformation, forgiveness, and renewal. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is another counselor. And so what? So what? What do we do with this teaching? Well, three things. Let's recognize the Holy Spirit. As a church, let us recognize the Holy Spirit. Let us honor him, even as we honor Jesus the Son and God our Father. He is as much God as both of them. So let's not, as Paul says, let's not quench the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God doing in your life right now? What is he calling you to? What is he nudging you about? What scripture is he underlining to you? What person is he saying to you, go and minister to them. Write them a letter. What is the Spirit saying to this church at this time? Where does the Spirit want us to go? Let's recognize him and not quench him. Let's not pour cold water on the fire of the Spirit. In our prayer time, just before we started our service, I think it was Nikki who had this image of a thunderstorm, I think it was, wasn't it? And the thing about a thunderstorm is that when the rain pours down on the land, what happens? All the gunk is washed away. Well, a lot of it is. All the gunk is washed away. You know? The gunk on your car? Including the poo from the, you know, whatever. If there's a really, all the gunk goes away. Let's recognize him. And let's say, come Holy Spirit, and wash away the rubbish. Number two, let's be led by him. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. It's very easy to put him to one side. Believe me, I know this as a minister. It's very easy for the church to be led by committee. You know? Committee. The church was never meant to be led by a committee. It was never meant to be led by a man or a woman or a group of men or a group of women or a mixture of both. The church was always meant to be led by the Spirit of God as the church waits on him in prayer, as the church is led by him in prayer. You see, Jesus is Lord over the church, but the Spirit of God is Lord in the church. He is the chess master. I got this image when I was lying in bed a few days ago. I couldn't sleep. He is the chess master. He's moving the pieces. We're not moving the pieces. He's doing it. The point is, shall we let him lead? Again, it's best that we do. And then finally, let's seek him. Let's seek him. And let's not just do that today. Let's not just do that tomorrow. Let's seek him, chase after him. And let us not be satisfied until we find him, until we hear from him, until we're moved by him and led by him and anointed and transformed, until we're filled by him, until we're conformed to the image of the Spirit that is Jesus, the Son of God. Let's keep seeking him, daily seeking him, because he's not finished with his church yet, and he's not finished with me, and he's not finished with you. So who knows what the Spirit might be doing in these days, in this church, and in our lives. Who is the Spirit? He's someone we need to know. Not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our lives. He is God. And the question I leave you with is this. Do you know him? And will we receive him?